Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Getaway Friday, Friday, September the 4th, 2026. A real Getaway Friday, Labor Day weekend, 15 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. Do want to remind everybody, Matt's show will be coming up next hour, 10:15 p.m. until 11 p.m. on this station. We will not be live on Monday morning, Labor Day morning, from 8 to 10 a.m., so on Monday, there'll be a best of program. I don't know what interviews will be playing or what show will be playing on Monday morning. But tune in Monday. It will be a best of program. And we'll be back live with you on Tuesday morning next week after everybody hopefully has a really good Labor Day weekend. As they call it, the official end of summer. Holy mackerel. After we had this warm, warm weather week, the official end of summer comes up. 75 degrees right now, mostly cloudy skies here in the Marion area, and the phone lines are open, by the way. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a call if there is anything on your mind. We had some interesting conversation in hour number one, and also I was talking about the Marion County Board of Developmental Disabilities levy that may or may not pass this coming September or November, excuse me. But there is some kind of There's some kind of controversy around this, because the question is, are the people at the MCBDD making too much money? Now, the superintendent released a statement the other day because they felt there was some kind of misconception about the money they were making, and said, all of our salary is not coming from the MCBDD. We do get our salary supplemented from another place. So I don't know. I think it's fascinating. It's certainly something to talk about here. And we were talking about how this is Labor Day weekend, and it's been now 16 years since Jerry Lewis has done a Labor Day weekend telethon. Of course, Jerry's been gone now for a number of years. I don't know how long. How long has Jerry Lewis been gone? 6 or 7 years? Somewhere in there. I think he lived into his 90s, though. So that was good. I know he had a very young daughter. And you know what? We were talking about this Lindsey Clancy trial earlier today. The lady who was accused on trial for strangling her 3 kids, talking about postpartum depression. And the jury ended up being, I think it was they had a term for it. A mistrial, I think is what happened. There was a mistrial in that case. So, what can you do? Now, there'll probably be another trial. I'm sure her defense team was not very happy about that. Does anybody have any more thoughts on that whole trial? The Lindsey Clancy trial? Mistrial. They could not convince that one person. It was 11-1, 7 days of deliberation to become a not guilty vote. This woman probably would have ended up in some kind of mental hospital, but didn't quite end up that way. Does anybody have any thoughts? 740-383-9944. I think that's a very interesting case. And the fact that it ended in a mistrial, I think, is even more interesting. I don't know. It's very, very strange how it all went down, and the fact that it ended in a mistrial. Thank you. How's it going?
Pretty all right.
How was your day?
Pretty good. I went home and I ate some food and then I was watching some BattleBots and I fell asleep.
Fell asleep.
Yep.
See, this is where I think your sleeping habits are just troublesome.
It would be all right if I was doing something. I just wasn't doing anything.
So, do you not hear alarms?
Well, I didn't set any alarms, but also my Alexa is like broken. Like it, the speaker's like. I mean, to be fair, that thing's old. I've had that thing since Alexa's came out. I'm surprised it lasted this long. But the it sounds like the speaker's blown. It, like kind of like distorted and like quiet and like I don't know, muffled and staticky. I don't know. It's pretty messed up. So I need to get a new I might just get an alarm clock though.
I still use an alarm clock.
I'd be all right with an alarm clock.
Alarm clocks work.
Alexa, I don't use my Alexa for anything other than alarms. So no need to have a robot that listens to you if
oh God.
if you don't use it.
Aye. Phone lines are open 740-383-9944 if you have anything you'd like to say. Well, it's nice you brought a pop. It went a whole different route here tonight.
Not a whole different route. I mean, I took the same route I always take. I just stopped at Speedway instead of like the Moto Mart.
Oh, on 309.
Yeah, they were busy.
Well, probably it's Friday night. People are out. It's Labor Day weekend. I can imagine. So, what does a bottle of pop cost at Speedway?
I don't know. Probably like $2.99 or something.
So at Moto Mart, you can get 2 2-liters for $5, right?
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about that. I was like, man, I could have got 2 2-liters for you know.
I know. It's the whole warm pop idea. But anyway, so here we are.
Yeah.
So you got anything to say? Mistrial in the Lindsey Clancy.
So, I'd assume that her lawyer moved to have the case dismissed.
Well, no, I don't think so because the defense is not happy about this.
Well, I would figure as much, but I mean, you know, I'm no lawyer, but first thing that to my knowledge, at least, again, I mean, I know I'm no lawyer. Maybe there's something else that I'm wrong about, but to my understanding, usually, they when they declare a mistrial, for first thing the defense does is wait, you said the defense isn't happy?
Right.
Why is the defense not happy?
Because they don't want this retried. They felt they had a good thing going here.
Yeah.
7 days of deliberation and
see, yeah, but usually when this kind of thing happens, doesn't the defense attorney submit like basically ask for the case to be dismissed?
Yeah, but they won't do that. Not in a murder trial.
I mean, I doubt they'll dismiss it, but, you know, you never know.
Well, and they don't want to get in this again. Because the problem is now,
we'll get a new jury.
Yeah, but the jury that they would have to get is going to be much more informed on this case. And they, I think, felt they had a pretty good, they only had one holdout.
Oh, no. I don't know where this case is, but there's got to be somebody who's not following the case.
I don't know. I wouldn't want this.
Like, I didn't really know anything about the case until today.
I
thought
it.
She murdered one kid. I didn't even know how she murdered him. And then apparently now she's killed 3 kids.
Well, that's the defense's problem on the whole, is that people will be misinformed on the case, and that's the problem.
Well, I'm misinformed. I just wasn't informed at all. I didn't care about the case.
No, but I'm saying it's going to be harder now with all the coverage to find a jury that is not contaminated.
See, that's why I think they should just not allow courts to cover media to cover court cases.
I don't know. I'm telling you, whatever people say, it's because she's a young person. This would not be a national story. I don't care what you know. I told you this earlier. This happens all the time. This. What about this story is national news? Why should this be in the USA Today? Why should this be covered on the networks? Why should this be a story you can follow on cable television? What is so unique about this case?
Well, she has a lot of supporters, so, I mean...
What? You think in the last 3 years...
I've seen a lot about the people, like, I've seen a lot about the supporters, but, I mean, that's why I knew that the case was even a thing. But besides that, I really...
You think since 2023 nobody's murdered their kids?
I'm sure.
So why this
people murder their kids all the time?
So why this?
Yeah, I agree as well. I mean, I don't really know.
Because I would assume
that it's because that her defense was postpartum depression, and then it opened some kind of broader conversation.
No. If this was a 50-year-old woman, if this was a man, this would not have been a thing. This would not have been a national trial.
I agree, yes.
Right. So we like young women on trial because people look at them and they go, oh, they're beautiful, they're young, they've got everything. Why would they do this?
Why do people care what they look like? I don't care. Because look at the guy who murdered the kids.
Look at the guy Mangione who murdered the healthcare.
Luigi.
Yeah. Look at that. They love the guy.
Yeah, I know.
Because he's beautiful.
Oh, I don't know about that. That's what they say. I don't know about that. I've never heard that. But I've heard people say that they think he's like a hero. And I'm like, the man shot a dude in the back of the head with a 3D printed pistol. He is no hero. I don't know. People got some backwards logic now.
You know what's interesting?
The man stalked somebody, found his location under false pretenses, and then shot him in the back of the head.
Here's what I've learned about flock cameras. One of the problems is that people are way too skeptical now. You can tell people flat out and give them evidence as to why something is happening, and they still go, I don't know. And I think that's why everybody, you can say to people, here are the flock cameras, here are their locations, they don't tilt, the police chief will show you how they work, we'll let somebody come in and audit those, and people will still go, I don't know. We are too much of questioning everything is not a good thing. There are some things that are factual. I don't even know that. If you went to the media and you said, why are you covering this trial? I think they would tell you why they're covering this trial.
I just don't understand, I think I've said this before, but I don't understand
why are we talking about it?
I understand the people have a distrust for the police, I suppose. But, if you distrust the police so much that you think anything that they say about in regards to the flock cameras is a lie to the public, then why bother asking any questions? If you genuinely believe that everything they're going to say is going to be a lie, then what's the point in asking the questions?
Exactly.
They're just going to lie to you.
That's right.
And so if you believe what they have to say, at least there's a reason to get up there. And I don't think that they're just lying through their teeth to the public.
It's a show. That's why when people say, well, why don't you get up and ask the questions during the meeting? Because then you become part of the show. It's not a show. That's not the point. You're not trying to get attention placed on yourself. That's what I don't get. It's very bizarre. Nobody 25 years ago would have ever said, you need to get up there and ask the questions during the meeting. They would have said the exact opposite. They would have said, you know, it's better to do it this way. That way the media is not a spectacle. If you're getting up there, you know, you can ask anything you ask in those meetings in private. You can ask them in an email. You can call City Hall on the telephone. You can go to City Hall. Guess what? It's in the city. And you can go down there when the cameras aren't rolling and the room doesn't have an audience. And you can go to these people's offices and you can ask them these questions you want to know. It's a spectacle.
Well, I think that most people know they can get a hold of their city council people. I just don't know that most people do.
If you really want a thorough, complete answer to something, do you think you're going to get that standing up during a city council meeting, speaking to somebody in a box? Or do you think you're going to get that in their office in the afternoon when they're on the clock and you can have a back-and-forth conversation with them?
Well, most of the time when questions are at, I don't know, maybe it's just lopsided in my brain for some reason. But it seems like every time, not every time, but a lot of the times that questions are asked to city council, they don't have anything to do with what's on the table, as it goes.
It's a show.
So, I don't... I don't know. it's an interesting time.
I do not understand it. It is a show. Period. And I'm not sure why.
I don't know. I mean, people like a spectacle, I guess.
Well, again, that's fine, but I'm not sure. You know, it's a carnival, is what it is. Now, I don't think carnivals are bad. I like to go to the carnival every so often, but I don't want to live at the carnival. I don't want to go every week. I don't want to work at the carnival. So, that herein lies the problem. It's okay to go every so often, but if you're doing it on a consistent basis, you're part of the carnival. Whether or not you're asking sensible questions or not, you have become part of a carnival. And I don't think that that's necessary.
I don't know. I like when people get up and ask questions that actually, like, are relevant. But it seems like most of the time, the questions aren't... Well, again, I don't know. I don't even know about most of the time. Just a lot of the time. Questions aren't relevant. And even when the questions that are asked that are relevant, somehow the conversation always devolves into something that's not relevant.
It always becomes about the person asking the question. There's a great self-importance in those meetings that is... I don't know when that got created. Because I do not remember 2 years ago going to a meeting and seeing a carnival. But it's there now. On display just about every Monday night.
Yeah. I don't know how you go about fixing that, but...
You stop live streaming it.
Yeah, that'd be good, I guess.
And by the way, how many times, pull the newspapers since the Star started reporting on those meetings, and how many times have they ever reported on what the audience did or what the questions the audience asked?
I don't know. I don't read the Marion Star.
I doubt they ever have. So, again, because they know it's a carnival. That's why when I bring back a quote, I bring back a quote from an office holder. Because, again, it's a carnival.
I don't know. I don't know that it's a carnival.
I do.
But it's a mess.
I absolutely know it's a carnival. Because I've seen it not be that.
Well, yeah, I mean... I guess I didn't see it not be that for too long. I mean, when I started going to the city council meetings... it wasn't like that. But I think there was an entirely different council besides Rollins.
Yeah, but I don't think that really matters because I don't think this city council's on the same page. I just think it's the way it is. It's wrong. But whatever. If anybody has anything to say, feel free to call in. 740-383-9944.
Bar's still there.
I don't think he was there. He wasn't. What? Nope. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 32 minutes past the hour. So what does Labor Day mean to you?
What does Labor Day mean? I mean, I don't know. I have cookouts and stuff on Labor Day. I mean, it's not like, you know, people, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of lost its, you know... The background in the unions and the labor force. I mean,
it used to be Jerry Lewis for many, many years.
A lot of people get Labor Day off of work. I mean, people like that.
I don't know. It's a shame people don't pay attention to Labor Day anymore.
How do you think you get the unions back to like mob power?
Well, I don't think that was the intention.
Oh, but it worked very well.
The unions got a bad reputation because of that, the problem.
No. See, that was good. Unions were. No, I mean, I don't know. They could probably dial back some of the some of like the violent activity, I guess. But I mean, you know, I mean, I think that if you're gonna, I don't know, crossing a picket line. I mean, you know, I think, you know, this is probably not a good idea. You shouldn't pass the picket lines.
Well, anytime I ever hear anybody knock a union at all, the first thing I say to them, I just ask them two questions. And I always think of Labor Day. I think about this on Labor Day. I say, why do you work an 8-hour day instead of an 18-hour day? And they usually have no idea. Oh, well, that's because of unions. People who got their head busted years ago. And I say, why do you work a 40-hour week and not an 80-hour week?
You know, I don't know. See, I'm telling you, history is probably one of the more important subjects that they teach you in school, and I don't think anybody pays attention into history. I loved history. Well, social studies, I guess it's called, you know, school, but I loved social studies. It was great. History is interesting. I mean, I don't know. I thought the Gilded Age was a neat time. And I've said it, you know, many times, but I think my favorite president in American history is probably Teddy Roosevelt, the trust buster.
People didn't like those times, though. You know, people always think that the time, I don't know, there's a weird thing about history. Like, the way you remember the time and how it actually was, not really the truth.
Well, yeah, I mean, you always remember the past, you know, you always, like, rose-tinted glasses, I guess.
I don't know. I find it fascinating. That's why sociology was my favorite subject when I was in college.
Sociology is cool.
Go ahead, caller.
You know, on Columbia and David Street there, where the overpass is at?
Yeah.
The shovel's got some great big transformers there.
Yeah.
When the guys have been on strike before, they've shot those transformers.
Well, I mean, you don't remember in the 80s when Tecumseh, when they tried to bring in the paid...
the scabs.
Yeah, they call them scabs. That Tecumseh beat them up, and the police had to be called in, and Channel 10 and Channel 4 came in from Columbus, and Tecumseh was not around here much longer after that.
Nope. That kind of hurt the unions, because people kind of blamed it on the unions, but...
Well, when you're beating somebody's head in, yeah... Got violent.
I think that, you know, the corporations could have just listened to what the unions wanted.
They did. And then within 2 years, they were out of here.
Yeah, Kroger did that. There was, I think, I don't remember where the stores were at, but there was like a few stores that went on strike. And then they got like a big old, you know, big old nice contract, and then within a few months, I'm pretty sure they closed like four.
It's
of those
always
stores.
in any side of life, whether it be work or war, it's always better to make a mutual agreement before it comes to a bad situation, because people have long memories.
Yep. Especially with our war. That's the biggest thing about the war right now is Congress is not notified, our allies is not notified or talked to about it, and then he wants everybody to, he wants Congress and the Senate to give him, or
Congress,
you know, to give him more money for the war. Well, you don't kind of do this with them, you do it all by yourself.
You know, it's interesting. Don Kissick this morning said his favorite president in his lifetime was Reagan. Now, I thought that was very odd coming from a libertarian. Reagan, in his time...
The biggest trickle-down economics.
Trickle-down economics was the man who broke a lot of the unions because he deregulated everything.
Reaganomics.
And is he, at that time, we've had some since, but ran up the national debt... more than any other president before him. And that's a libertarian's best president in their lifetime?
That don't sound good to me.
I didn't quite understand that earlier. When you said Reagan, I thought of all people, Reagan?
Since I've been a voter, I think Clinton and Obama's been the two greatest presidents. Really, Clinton, I think, would be a step up above Obama. Clinton balanced the budget.
Clinton worked with the other side. Clinton balanced the budget. Clinton, yes. Obama got some things done, but he did it without the other side, and I think that's how we got the divisive politics we have now.
Yeah, it could be. He got the health care, but
he didn't get the Republicans, and he also gay marriage and all that, but he did it without the other side, and it created a very nasty...
Yep.
Attitude. Clinton did not have that. When the Republicans came in under Clinton, he worked with them.
I still am waiting for Trump to bring out his health care plan.
Well, you know, one day, we're going to find out in January, because that's when all this takes effect. So I hope people are ready for that.
I hope so.
So we'll see. Thanks.
Later.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's when all these things to health care and student loans and food cards, that's when a lot of that takes effect, is January.
Well, then, just convenient.
We'll find out. I think it's going to be a dark, cold winter for a lot of people. Because the economy is already in bad shape. So I don't know how that's going to work. Now, if the Democrats take back power, they could come in and amend that. It's only a year. It's just a year's budget. So the next budget, which would take effect the following January, would be done by the new Senate and the new Congress. So this might not last a whole long time, but people are going to have to do something different in November, that's for sure.
What do you mean? Like, vote differently?
Well, yeah. Because you certainly, if you want the group that made this bill...
people are going to vote how they're going to vote.
Well, it's not looking good for the Republicans right now.
No, it's not.
But I think they've made their own bet on this one.
Well,
I also don't understand Don Kissick's take on this property tax that's going to be, we can get rid of it and not raise any other tax in Ohio. Just, we can use surpluses. You want a state, you don't want a state with no surplus. That's the whole point. I don't quite understand. But then he accused the state of spending like crazy. So we spend like crazy. So you want us to spend more? But getting rid of property tax, what do you think we're going to replace that money with?
Well, I think he said that there were things that he thought that, like, I get... Because, you know, libertarians are big on just the private, private, you know, sector taking care of a lot of stuff. So I think he would probably cut a lot of stuff.
Like the schools?
Well, no, he said that he would fund the schools.
How?
Using the excess money that was saved from cutting things.
But he already said we spend too much.
Well, that's why he's cutting things.
Well, what are you cutting?
Well, I don't know. You could, shrink down, I don't know, workforces and stop doing so much road work that never gets done.
You think every property in Ohio that you're getting property tax from, you're going to do that by cutting, you're going to make up that difference by cutting the state budget?
I don't know what the budget looks like.
Well, I'm sure that...
I can make up some money in that budget. Give me the budget.
People always think they can, but they can't.
And well, people just don't like it. They don't... I don't know. People want more, but they want to spend less.
This reminds me of the last election. People thought they wanted something, and then they got it, and then now they don't like it. And that's what this whole property tax thing is going to be. Because who is going to vote against abolishing property tax? Because that sounds like a good idea on the whole. But as soon as it happens, the next governor is going to realize, oh, we don't have any money for this now. So where are we going to get it? Well, they're going to get it through sales tax. And Mike DeWine knows that. And he's telling people that now. They're not listening.
I don't know. I think it makes more sense to get rid of income tax and keep property tax. And then, like, you just raise sales tax. Now, I hate to break it to you. Sales tax, if property taxes go away, sales taxes are going up. Don Kissick said that he thought that was a Mike DeWine scare tactic. I'm not on the same page with him on that one.
What does Mike DeWine have to scare somebody for?
I don't think he wants, property tax.
But what does he care?
I don't think that he wants to lose property taxes.
What? He will not be the governor when that happens.
Well, I think he thinks it'd be bad for Ohio.
Yeah, but a scare tactic is so I benefit. Well, how would Mike DeWine benefit from anything at this point?
Well, I mean, it's just legislation that he opposes.
Okay. But you won't need a scare tactic to do that.
I don't know. They use scare tactics for all kinds of things.
When you want to stay in office, you use a scare tactic, but he's not running for re-election. He's not running for anything.
Yeah.
Because he's telling you the truth. This is what's going to happen.
Well, I agree with Mike DeWine. That's what's going to happen.
I don't think it's a scare tactic.
Well, I agree with you. So I don't know that it's a scare. Yeah, because, well, I mean, I don't know that it, I don't know. I do think sales tax is going to go up. On it being a scare tactic, I mean,
I don't think people understand that. I think it's one of those things, logically they understand it, but they really don't.
Well, I mean, sales tax is going to...
What do you pay now for groceries? I think sales tax is okay. It's going to go up about 30%. So, what do you... Okay, you paid what for this bottle? $3?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, well, you're going to be paying about $8 for this.
Do
you pay for this monster here every day?
I don't think that's how tax dollars work.
That's what's going
to
happen.
Look, I mean, right now, it'll go from like 7.5 cents to like...
35 cents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even that'll make the $3 pop like $4. $2.99. So, yeah, I'll round it up. 3 times 0.35...
Well,
I guess I did 0.33, so it'd be a little more than a dollar, but yeah, so it'd be about $4.
Yeah. No, it'd be over 5.
I'll do the math right now. I don't know.
My point is...
It'd be 4.
Okay. $4 on every pop you buy.
Yeah.
4 times as much. Sales tax. And this is good.
Well, 5 times as much sales tax.
And that's good? On everything you buy.
Yeah.
Go ahead, caller.
Matt, you'd be better off if they got rid of, if they got their money from property taxes and left the sales tax alone.
I don't even understand.
I said that I think they should get rid of income taxes, keep sales tax, keep property tax. But again, I mean, if you get rid of income taxes, the sales tax is going up.
You know why you'd rather keep property tax?
Why would I rather keep property tax?
Yeah.
Because it makes sense to tax people who own a lot of land, I think. Land is...
Because you don't own nothing.
Well, no, I mean...
you wouldn't have to pay.
No, but my parents own a house. My grandparents own a house.
Well,
my brother owns a house.
You.
Like, I mean... Yeah, but I'm still directly... I mean, I guess not directly, but very indirectly. My aunt owns a house. My uncle owns a... Like, everybody I know owns houses. It's not like I don't know anybody who doesn't own a house.
Well, but that's not... If they need money to keep their house going, are you going to give them money? Or are they just going to have to sell it? And the property taxes... You know.
I don't understand the argument, though, with people who have a lot of property by saying, okay, let's do it a different way. I understand that gets rid of your burden, but you think you're not going to be paying the sales tax difference at the store, too? You think over the course of a year...
Me?
No, the people who... Let's say you own property now. Whatever your property is valued at. Let's say it's $120,000. What are you paying a year in property tax?
I don't know what the property tax percentage is.
Okay.
Well, look at those tax that billionaires got.
Right, but I'm saying you think that's not going to be made up every time you go to the grocery store, every time you buy a car, every time that you have to go to a restaurant? You think over the years you're not going to get hit with that?
I know how much I paid in income tax last year, and I think if you got rid of income tax, I save money.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think you realize how much you eat and drink in a year.
Oh, well, every day.
Right. And all the taxes you pay on everything.
You know, you got to pay taxes on your... if you lease a car. You got to pay taxes on that. You got to pay taxes on the car when you buy it.
Yeah, that's like a sales tax.
You realize how much lease payment would go up? You got a $300 lease payment, you know? A third of it, of $300, is, $33. So you'd be paying $400 a month for that car payment instead of $300 a month. You know, you can't get rid of any taxes and think you're going to be doing better because they got to cut an awful lot of spending, an awful lot of funding, you know, to be able to get rid of any of those taxes.
All I know is this is one of those things that is brought on by a group of people. And when people bring on, name one thing that was ever brought by a group of people that benefited the government. Why is the government, if this is a better way to do business, why isn't the government doing it?
Well, I don't think it benefits the government.
Well, the government's just going to make up the difference.
Yeah, they're going to raise sales tax.
Right.
I think they should raise sales tax. Do away with income tax, raise sales tax.
One way or another. You know, you can't do away with the tax and think, well, okay, we're all going to be saving this now because are we going to put it to the state's debt? We'll just keep rising. I don't know how stupid people can't realize that. They're stupid.
It's one of those things that it'll just get reversed. Like most things, once people realize how bad it is, then they realize, we shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
I really don't like paying this much money every time I go to the grocery. People complain now when they go to the grocery store. Well, plop another $100 every time you go. And by the way, your wage isn't going up.
If you got rid of income tax, your wage is it's going up because you don't have to pay the government money.
Listen, here's the fact. Whatever you are paying in income tax, whatever you're paying in property tax, they're going to get in some other tax by raising it. Something they have control of because they're not going to lose money in what they're funding.
You know, and you can't just keep putting it against the debt.
I mean, you can keep moving it around, I guess, if you want.
Yeah, Ponzi scheme, though. That's what that would be.
What this is really about is the people who pay property. Here's what's going to happen. This is like open enrollment. People who pay property tax resent people who don't pay property tax. So, they don't like that. So they said, let's spread the misery around. Let's make everybody pay for this instead of us. Well, that in theory is a decent idea until you realize that there are going to be people who do live in houses and do live in apartments and they rent. Well, guess what? Is the owner going to drop the rent when the property tax goes away? No.
No.
So, but who's going to get hit in this? The people who don't own property.
Well, just like all the prices going up here in the last few years, do you think if suddenly, you know, gas went down to $2 a gallon?
I mean, I love that argument by people who have property. You know, I own property, you don't, so you're getting a free ride. You think that the rent is not based on what that person is paying? You think the person who owns that property is losing money?
No,
don't think so.
Your rent is included in that. Property taxes is included in your rent.
Of course it is. And their profit.
So, you know, you can't win that way.
No. So, again, I guess all the people who own properties are going to be dropping the rent, right? Because they have no taxes anymore.
Yeah.
Well, that's like trickle-down economics.
Right, it doesn't work.
Yeah,
that's been the biggest failure. I don't know why people think Reagan was such a great president.
So what we're going to do, if we get rid of property tax, we're going to leave the rents where they are, but we're going to charge people more for everything.
You know, it's funny. It's actually kind of funny because when we were in school, you learn about Reagan and you learn about Reaganomics. And you learn about how much of a failure Reaganomics was. And it was explained to me at some point that Reaganomics, the same thing. But Reaganomics, you know, is just trickle-down economics. And I'm like, they still use trickle-down economics. It was a failure under Reagan. What's it going to do now? It's going to be the same failure.
To give billion billionaires a tax credit.
Because billionaires donate to campaigns.
You know, that's smart.
They just switched it from Reaganomics to trickle-down and then kept doing the same thing.
They don't think it's going to work. They know they have to pay their debts.
Like, come on. Like, no, but, like, people who use trickle-down law, like people, there are, like, there are people who believe trickle-down economics. It was, you learn in high, like, in school that trickle-down economics is a failure. Like, I learned that in school, and I don't know, they keep on keeping on with trickle down.
And here's one thing.
And by the way, I will tell you this, you can guarantee, because the schools do have a right to pass levies based on income tax instead of property tax, and you can bet that every school levy from now on will be based in income tax, not property tax, and if that happens, that's going to be a real problem.
Yeah. If you live in these county school districts, especially Pleasant or something like that, you've got a $300,000 home. You're paying, you know, between $3,000 and $4,000 a year in taxes, or more.
And you think now? Think about that: a $300,000 home. You're paying $3,000 in taxes.
Yeah.
Okay. So you think over the course of 12 months, and what, that 30% sales tax hike, you're not going to pay $3,000 in 12 months more?
Who, me?
No, anybody.
Oh, I mean, again, I mean, I know what I paid in income tax last year, and
everybody's going to pay more. Is what's going to happen?
Well, they're going to raise sales tax.
Right.
I would keep, I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm in favor of keeping the property tax. I won't be voting to get rid of property taxes.
Well, I get sick and tired of hearing about taxes. Every year, the Republicans say, we're going to lower your taxes, lower your taxes. It never happens, but people believe it, and that's how they get elected. You got to come off and lower your taxes. You can't keep saying that for 50 years.
Apparently they can. It's working.
Well, as long as the billionaires keep donating to the campaigns, they can keep saying it.
Yep.
Thank you. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. There are just a lot of people who are angry, but they don't understand how economies work. They just don't.
Well, I don't know. I think. Look, I have a pretty solid economic. You know, I'm no economist, though. I should probably. I'm gonna go to school for like. You know, economy
it's
stuff.
I'm gonna fix it.
It's
like the food card. You know, the food card always fascinates me. How bitter people get about people who have the food card. Like it's hurting them. Oh, my taxes are up because of your food card. Well, do you think that Walmart and Kroger and any place that sells food, do you think they get paid in food card? No. They get paid money. And what do those businesses do with that money? They've got to hire employees because they've got more business. And they've got to order more food, which causes factories to have to hire more people. Food card is an economy stimulator. Pull the food card. What happened last time they pulled the food card? What happened? People stopped shopping less. People think, oh no, people will find the money. They'll find them. No, they don't find the money. They just stop coming. Hours get cut, and then you need more people on the food card. Is that what you want? I mean, I don't quite understand the logic that people have.
I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
People complain about...
Are we still talking about taxes?
Yes. We're talking about the economy. Every time, what do they do? What did they do during the pandemic when the economy tanked because of the pandemic? A stimulus check. They gave people money. Go spend it. And it worked.
It was a
the economy
match.
Would have tanked.
They just given people money.
It would have tanked the economy, and they knew it would have tanked. Look how gas prices went down so sharply. Just because of the pandemic.
Hey, I was out and about during the pandemic. I'm not going to lie. I took no place in that lockdown order.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
That's when I started driving, too.
No, my point
Gas
is...
Gas was good then.
But the point is, you cannot... If people don't have money, the economy does not survive. So, you know, every bit of money that goes into the economy from your tax dollars is spent in your community.
I don't know about that one, Chief.
You don't?
I mean...
What do you think, Chief?
I think that the biggest portion of that is definitely going to the military. And the military...
The military?
Oh, they're yeah. They're
giving the people the military's money?
No, they're giving... The I said your tax... The military people's money.
No, I said your tax dollars that go into your community that you're angry about...
Your tax dollars go to your community.
They did... The taxes that people always... Okay... Like they're so upset, they say, well, grants are tax dollars from the state. Well, they're not from your community. Well, this is all semantics. I'm talking about your, whatever we have here that gives people food card and Medicaid and all that, that comes from tax dollars from the federal government. The federal government collects federal income tax. That's where it all comes from. Now, whatever portion that it, you want to complain about the military, complain about the military.
Yeah, we should.
But the point is,
well,
nobody's going to do that. So, but no, we don't do that.
What, defund the military?
No,
I think that's the big brain move here.
No, but the point is,
the economy, defund
the
military.
But the point is, the tax, the people don't sit on the, you. Do you think these people who are on the food card and Medicaid got big savings accounts?
No.
Oh, what? They must. That's where we're funding them.
I mean, but, you know, there are plenty of people who are not on the food card who have low bank accounts.
We're done. Happy Labor Day. I won't be here Monday. I'll be back on Tuesday. In any event, what's coming up next in your show? Nonsense?
Politics.
Oh, man.
You know, national politics, state politics.
Okay. Good Enjoy. All right, I'll see you Monday. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Soon plays upon the cell, and go on and on. This royal throne of kings, this sceptered isle, this earth of Mars. Yes, I did Shakespeare, and I retained